Welcome to Real Flicks Reviews. We're like a book club for people who hate reading. This month we're doing grab bags. So James picked the movie Tombstone, made in 1993. We bring you season one, episode one of Hell on Wheels.
Yep.
This week we have Jonathan Charney, James Stevens, and Ryan Preston. So here's the description of Tombstone, a successful lawman's plans to retire anonymously in Tombstone, Arizona, are disrupted by the kind of outlaws he was famous for eliminating. And before we continue on our discussion, everybody's favorite Batman died recently, Adam West. And I'm saying...
Sorry, go ahead, man. And
I say favorite as in I loved the 60s Batman, not because I took it seriously, but because as a kid it was extremely entertaining. At least I found it. So I was really sad about this.
Yeah, here's what it was. He was America's Batman. You know, he was...
There you go.
He was the every Batman. You know, it was... It's the one that didn't take itself seriously and there was just something so iconic about that. And then the sense of humor that he developed about it over the years. I mean, which he had to have in the first place to even do the show. But,
he was like the Dick Clark
for Family Guy.
Oh, yeah, his Family Book. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. All those things. I mean, was just, you know, the fun that he had with it over the years.
So the funniest thing that I've heard about Adam West is... I've listened to a number of radio shows over the years, and probably half a dozen people have met Adam West in some point of inebriation, which I thought was funny. Literally, it came on a point on a radio show. It's like, yeah, I met Adam West once, and he was drunk. And the other guy's like, what? You too?
You know, I got to say, I mean, I wouldn't say he's my favorite Batman. My favorite Batman is Kevin Conroy, who actually played the Batman in the animated series. But he was the one who put Batman out there for the masses. Other than that, it was before him, it was basically comic book buffs that actually knew Batman. And he brought it into the mainstream of America.
Totally.
You know, I give him a lot of credit for that. But as a kid, yes, I did enjoy the Batman as a kid. As an adult with a kid who likes that Batman, I am not a fan anymore.
I would, you know, and he's that show and him specifically because he was the main character is, you know, he put pow and bang and all that in that comic book style of move and television making in the American lexicon. So to him and his family, you know, our Real Flix Reviews is condolence.
Yeah, our condolences to a legend who has passed on.
And so we're going to go straight back to talking about Tombstone. A couple of comments was... This made me miss Bill Paxton again, so thanks a lot, James. I saw him like, it's Bill. No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, I picked, you know, I'll get into it a little bit.
And then Sam Elliott has looked old.
The man who doesn't age.
He's like Dick Clark, but he's always looked old.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much. Like, you look at a picture of him from Tombstone, which was back in, what, 95? 93. To what he looked like, what? In the last movie he did, which was maybe like a couple months ago. Same guy.
But look him in Roadhouse in like the 80s. Yeah. I mean, the dude never changes. He must have went gray when he was 15.
I was thinking 12, but yeah, sure. Yeah, before he got pubes.
The one thing I forgot about this movie is I forgot how long it is. It's 2 hours and 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And this movie is chock full of quotable movie lines.
Yeah,
you know, one of my favorite I mentioned last week was, you know, I'll be your Huckleberry.
Yes, that's the iconic line and the tagline of the movie, according to IMDb.
I seriously don't remember that being the tagline.
That's what IMDb says. I don't remember it being the tagline either.
But I don't think...
Well, I think it's one of those that just became the tagline over the years. It just absorbed into the zeitgeist.
I mean, according to me, I like Ringo, you aren't a dandy.
And I don't think there's anybody in this movie who shouldn't be there. All the actors and supporting actors, even the side ancillary characters, even Billy Zane. It's not something I would normally say. I thought he played the perfect role, whatever that role actually was.
And not to mention the hardly recognizable fat Billy Bob Thornton.
Yep.
And
he actually has my favorite line in the movie, which is, it feels like I'm playing cards with my brother's kids or something.
Wait, who was that again?
Billy Bob Thornton. He was a fat guy playing cards with
that's who that was.
Wyatt Earp slapped the shit out of him. Yeah,
yeah, that guy.
That's Fat Billy Bob.
I kept going, why do I know that guy?
And I got to throw this one out there because I didn't know this guy was in there. I want to see if Ryan picked it up. Michael Roker.
Yes.
Michael Roker was in there?
Sherman McMasters, the curly guy that they tied up to the horse and dragged him to his death.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
And Charlton Heston was in this movie, too.
I didn't even know that's who it was, and I saw him, and I heard him talk, and I'm like, wait a minute. This guy's from Walking Dead. Wait a minute. This guy's from Galaxy.
Wow, that's wild.
Yeah. Guardians of the Galaxy.
Wild.
Yeah.
It's amazing who was in there. You got Thomas Hayden Church, who was on Wings and went on to do other movies and TV shows. There's a ton of people in this movie.
I got to say, this one had an all-star cast.
Yeah.
Even the ancillary characters, the characters that really had no part in it, they became stars after this, you know, like 10 years later. But, you know, I really picked this movie because... We had Powers Booth die the other day, and this was one of the roles that was really stand out because he always plays an amazing bad guy, and that's what he played in this one, was an amazing bad guy.
Which bad guy was he in this movie?
He was the head main bad guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I forget the actual guy's name in there, but he was the Johnny Ringo took over.
Curly Bill Broekus.
Yeah, that's the name. Yeah, he was the main bad guy.
The one thing that always kind of, well, hold on. I'm going to give this a 4.5. I mean, besides the fact I completely forgot how long this movie was. I'm like, cool, it's almost over with. And it was like, oh, crap, I've got an hour and a half left. I mean, this kind of became another Aurora Battle or Dunbine for me.
Oh, I was thinking it was more like a Kevin Costner movie. But, you know.
So, yeah, no, for me, it's a strong 4-5. Very I can't talk. Very iconic cast. Great cinematography. Just an old school movie. It does have kind of a 90s feel for it, but it is very forgivable. There's nothing overly 90s in it to me.
I got to give this one a 4.5 out of 5. It's basically a straight on 5, but the thing I got to say that bothers me, and this is pretty much the only thing that really bothers me, is the OK Corral scene. You all of a sudden magically had 6 shooters with 15, 30 round magazines in them.
Yeah.
And a shotgun that has 5 rounds in it before you have to reload as well. You know, I mean, maybe it's just because Val Kilmer was holding it. I'm not sure. But, you know, so that to me is one of those where it always bothers me. You got rounds flying everywhere, which, I'm sure it was like that. But when you have a gun that takes like 2.5 minutes to take apart and reload and then put back together and it's still shooting after 6.
That was this entire movie. Entire movie was unlimited ammo.
Yeah. So... I mean, there were a couple scenes that you saw him reload, but when it's only like 4 times in a 10-minute shootout.
You see it when it serves the purpose that they need to
stretch
the time out a little bit.
Yeah, and I got to throw this out to Kevin Costner. Kevin Costner actually did do a great film, Open Range, in which there was legitimate reloads in it. So that's something point for you.
And according to the old guy, and he would know, being his past lives, he says it's one of the most realistic gunfights and gun movies ever.
Yeah. So on that, I got to give that to Kevin Costner, not taking a page out of Tombstone's book and doing it like that.
Here's the thing, is they actually get points for being pretty bloody historically accurate.
Yeah,
about which part?
True. About
the OK Corral specifically.
Oh, and
you know the rest of the stuff, the narrative. That's obviously storytelling. That's
And the love scene. God damn! Why did you have to do that?
Because you know it's a '90s movie.
Yeah.
So what do you give it, Ryan? What's your initial rating?
I mean, definitely 4.5. I mean, there are the simple things, but it's got more cast than it needed. It's got you know, a better, this, how quotable is this movie? Maybe the top five of all time. You know, everybody knows half the lines from this thing.
I mean, there's memes of this movie.
It like is pretty
24 years later.
I do like some of the gunfighting scenes. There's this one scene where is it Johnny Ringo? He kills the sheriff.
Yeah.
He did the road agent spin. And I don't know if you know what it is. Basically, you're doing it as you're going to surrender the weapon, but first you flip it over and shoot it.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was something I think they did more in older Westerns. I mean, so this is the first Western I can remember in the 90s where they actually did stuff that, well, it wasn't common. It was still done.
I think it was just a good time for a Western, you know, when they did that flick.
Yeah, I'll give them that.
It's always been cheap. It's always been easy. It's not hard to get the costumes right. You know, there's actually photographs, you know, I mean, from as far back as 1840, I think. So, you know, you get to see these things almost firsthand. You know, shit, 40 years ago, you got to talk to somebody who was there.
So the only major problem I really have with this movie, and pretty much any movie about Wyatt Earp's life, is they still play him as a hero. This one, not so much as previous. There was one with, was it Pat O'Brien? It was an old TV show where they praised him as the, you know, the moral hero. In real life, he was a son of a bitch. If you read about his life, he was pretty much just like the outlaws he was killing.
Yeah.
So I do like the fact it actually showed what he did. He really did chase everybody down.
Yeah. And killed them.
I don't know if he killed all of them, but I know he killed enough of them.
He killed a lot.
So, yeah, I mean, that's the only part that really bugs me. But the story, the traditional American story of Wyatt Earp, is a really good base for a decent movie. I mean, so I want to see more of how, you know, son of a bitch he was. But having a traditional hero like this, you know, that part's forgivable because how good the movie is. The gunfighting scenes when they reload, like we were talking about earlier, it really is only to slow down the story so you have more dialogue. That, to me, is probably the most forgivable way to have unlimited ammo in a movie. Because
But also, here's the thing, is the actual gunfight itself probably 30 seconds?
Yeah. It was fast.
And I'm pretty sure it would have been less than that in real life.
Yeah, because you actually have to have your ammo count.
That's my point, it all happens so quick that for the actual movie, you've got to be able to stretch it out and give some narrative sort of pause to it.
Yeah.
So, but also at the time we were very used to the unlimited ammo thing.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, we had Terminator going
on.
So
it wasn't a big deal.
Was it 92?
The Terminator 2, 91? they did actually eject magazines.
Oh, I was talking about the first
Terminator. No, it was in the 80s. I think it was 87, right. 88.
Jeez.
Wow. You made me lose my point. Thanks a lot, James.
You're welcome.
The other thing that I have reading to a little historical note is everything I've read, most cowboys didn't put ammo in all six cylinders. So what it is, from everything I've heard, they lighten the trigger a lot. So they'd always have something happen and it would land an empty cylinder so you don't blow your foot off. So it was kind of a misnomer from everything I've heard for most people who carried a gun to have all 6 to 5 rounds.
Well, if you're planning on going a gunfight, I would actually load all 6 rounds because if you're walking
if you take a look at the way that most of these gunfights in these movies, like this one, they just kind of somehow happen upon a gunfight, you know?
Oh, yeah.
They're walking and then somebody kills somebody and then Wyatt Earp pistol rips somebody.
Well, I mean, they had, you know, the whole warning and everything, and then told that they're down by the OK Corral, all 6 of them. I think they said there were 6 guys. Anyway, you guys are I was kind of surprised that neither one of you had this one. I mean, it's my favorite line of somebody over a dead body is after Doc Holliday kills Johnny Ringo and says, you know, Wyatt Earp comes walking up on him and goes, "I'm afraid the strain was more than he could bear." And I got to say, I mean, this is got to be my all-time favorite Val Kilmer role of all time. I mean, everybody else says the same thing, but I think he was the perfect actor to play Doc Holliday for this. And I can't think of anyone else at the time that could have done it the way that he did.
So my favorite part of this entire movie is the scene where they just kill, I think, the one of the leaders of the Cowboys. And the guy asks, you know, Doc, why are you there? And the guy, you know, Doc has answers a little bit and says, guy says, I have plenty of friends. I don't know if I do this. And Doc's comment was, I don't.
Yeah.
That to me was my favorite, because out of that was the most humanizing scene in the entire movie. Everybody else was kind of like standing on the shoulders of giants. Everybody was this larger in life character. And you had Doc Holliday, who was pretty much dying. You get to see the one human part of this entire movie. I don't even think when all the women were crying about people dying, were as humanizing as this part.
No, excuse me. That was when he was walking to the OK Corral. That was when he was going out to join up with them. I think as far as the way Val Kilmer did this role is fantastic. Even on his deathbed, when he told, you know, Wyatt Earp to leave. And basically was kind of telling him, I don't want you to see me at this point. Remember me as the good times and just go. I mean, I was kind of bothered by the fact that he supposedly died, like, what, 30 seconds after after Wyatt Earp left.
He died. The guy died in real life at, like, 36.
Yeah, he was very young. And I mean,
tuberculosis, kind of, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Consumption, as they used to call it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. But, yeah, I just got to say, I mean, as far as the roles of Val Kilmer, I mean, this is one that he will always be known for.
This is, out of all the ones I've seen, granted, I haven't seen every movie he's made, this is the one I think that was the weakest. Because if you look at most of the movies, he usually plays a badass or a cocky character. This, I think, was the only one, while he was cocky, there was an element of weakness. Like, he was making up for something, was the way I looked at the character. Larger in life because of, you know, everybody looked down on him more.
Well, everybody was expecting it out of him. So that would be it.
So I definitely continue. I'll give it a strong 4.5 out of 5. Very entertaining movie. Longer than I remember it. And I saw this in theaters, and I don't remember this being 2 hours and 10 minutes.
Yeah, I knew it was a 2-hour movie. It's one of those that I want to give it a 5, but there's just – it's as close to a 5 as you can get without being one. Does that make sense? I mean, it's still 4.5, but there is enough just hanging it up to where it's not there yet. And there's nothing that any of the actors did or didn't do that really bothered me or anything like that, but – So, yeah, it's going to stick at a 4.5.
I would also add, this movie ages pretty good. There's not a lot of movies from this time period that I would say age as well as this does. Original Jurassic Park, for example, doesn't age well. What'd you say?
Oh, hell no, you didn't just say that.
I said the original.
That's a terrible statement. The
original Jurassic Park does not age well.
Oh, yes, it does. That aged perfectly. What are you talking about? There's nothing wrong with that movie.
It aged like milk.
This is the kind of movie, though, that usually seems sort of stupid in retrospect, like we veered so far off from what actually happened that it was, like, weird. But
are we talking about Jurassic Park?
The story is so good.
Tombstone?
No, Tombstone. Still.
Oh, okay. I'm like, what are you talking about?
But the story is made up. The liberties that they took were so good that it doesn't have that aging thing where it's like, oh, this is lame, you know?
Well, you know, I'm thinking about it now, and I gotta say, I mean, the one thing that I would say is as unforgivable in this film to me is the whole love triangle. And
yeah,
I mean,
for sure,
that could just go away, but I give it grace. What the f- Really?
Frank Stallone was in this movie.
I didn't know Frank Stallone. Wow. Wow. Anyway, that totally threw me off. But the love triangle has got to go away. And every single time it shows up in this movie, I'm just like, just shut up and move on.
Well, I always
A 90s trope of the fact that there always had to be something for the ladies instead of just an all shoot 'em up guy film.
So is that why they put it in The Hobbit, when even the woman who was in it was pissed off at it?
That's something you got to take up with them.
Because I don't know anybody who actually wants the love story. I don't know any women who are ever interested in it.
What woman is going to be watching? Hold on. What woman is ever going to be watching this film and be like, oh, I want this married man to throw away his drug addict of a wife to come chasing after me? Like, what woman is going to say that?
We both know some women.
I know, but what woman is really going to be like, oh my God, that makes me, lines that I'm just not going to use.
It always seemed like a weird thing to throw in, because realistically, the only thing that did to me was slow down the movie and kind of screw up the pacing. Yeah. I mean, I understand. I think you could have done a wink and a nod to it and then move on, and it would have added to the story just a little bit to add a little bit more character without just kind of...
Anyway. Now, you know, you guys convinced me it's a 2.
So, Ryan, what was your rating?
still definitely a 4.5. I mean, even the nonsense sort of love triangle aside, it's so far beyond that kind of a weird little shoehorned love story that those movies always did. So maybe I'm used to it, but it's just such an iconic movie.
Yeah.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we do have a Facebook page. You go to facebook.com/RealFlixReviews. If you have a news story or even a movie you'd love us to review, please drop us a line. You can also catch Real Flix Reviews on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and more. So we're going to be talking about Season 1, Episode 1 of Hell on Wheels. So, James,
really planning on doing a Western-themed episode, but I guess we are. I like this one. I like the show. I mean, I think the introduction of this one is actually pretty good. You got Mr. O'Brien from Star Trek playing one of the bad guys in this, and he really does play a really great bad guy. I don't know if you've seen him do it before, but I have.
I have a hard time watching him as a bad guy. Don't get me wrong. The dude's a dick in the TV show, but it's just like, that's one of my favorite Star Trek characters. And he goes off and kills somebody. It's like,
whoa, wait a minute there. You're going a little crazy there, Meanie.
Poor Colin.
I really liked this show, and it's not just because of the time period that it is, but I really enjoy the characters that they throw into it. You get a... be introduced to some really great characters with it. What is her character's name? Ava. Ava was actually a real person in the Old West. She's the one with the tattoos on her face.
Yeah,
that was actually a legitimate lady of the Wild West who actually did end up becoming a prostitute. and she was kidnapped by... she wasn't really kidnapped. She was just kind of...
By the way, what a gimmick to have as a hooker in the Old West.
Oh, well, there's a mark. I mean, she had to charge less for that. But anyways, I like it because it kind of really gives
top billing.
Introduction into how the railroad was actually being put together. And it's not like they're being completely historically correct, but they did stick to a lot of how the kind of tent cities of the railroad were going on and the way they treated their workers and... So I always thought it was a good show. I think this one's been going on. Is it still going ongoing, Ryan? Do you remember? Do you know?
I don't know. I know they recently done another season.
From what I'm looking at, is they're not doing another season, but they just finished up in July 2016. I got into season 3, and then I was having problems keeping track of it, so... But it's actually a good show. It's worth a watch as far as I'm concerned. I mean, if you don't like kind of violence, you might not enjoy it because it does get very violent often.
This is another cable show.
And
this
cursing
is
the, and
but this is probably
prostitution.
This is probably nudity. The renaissance.
Let me keep interrupting you.
Cable television, though. You know, where they're no longer tied to what the alphabet channels do. They kind of have more leeway. But
this isn't necessarily one of the... This is more one of the regular cable shows. This is AMC. It's not HBO. It's not Stars. It's not Showtime. So they're even still pushing the envelope with this one.
Well, no, I agree. But you still couldn't do this on an Alphabet Network.
No.
You're talking about the people who canceled the latest Tim Allen movie because it was controversial. The TV show. So, you know, still, I do think this is the renaissance of non-traditional, traditional being the alphabet channels media. And I'm glad to see them pushing boundaries, even if it's not necessarily for me. That's at least it's more and richer entertainment.
Yeah, I would give them that. But we've said multiple times is that, you know, what we look for in a television show is something that gives us a better story than just kind of like an underlying story other than, you know, like three episodes that kind of go together, just something that continues on. And that's what this one really nails. What is that guy's name? Oh, the Swede, Christopher Heyerdahl. He comes in later in this one, and he plays a really interesting character that switches and turns around multiple times.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we give this Hell on Wheels a must-watch. Next week is Ryan's pick. So, Ryan?
Oh, yeah, I still haven't figured out what that was going to be. I'll have to get back to you on that one.
Okay, so hopefully he picks one before next Tuesday. It's going to be a very interesting show. So, James, you a TV show you're going to pick?
I actually do, and I could pick a movie for Ryan.
No, I think Ryan should get back to
No, I think you should do the one that I suggested to him 2 days ago.
Oh,
did you actually watch it?
I'm like three quarters of the way through it. Fell asleep the other night. Ah. I was tired. I'll get back to you.
All right. Anyways, so we're going to be doing the premiere episode of The Rockford Files, which is from 1964, I believe.
Good luck finding that, folks.
You know,
it used to be on Netflix and Hulu. I don't know if it still is.
I'm going to find it and watch it.
So, ladies and gentlemen, next week we have no idea what the movie is. The TV show is
going to be doing Daredevil.
Is Rockford Files Episode 1, the pilot. And so, ladies and gentlemen, for Jonathan Charney, James Stevens, and Ryan Preston, thank you for watching.
Goodbye. Thank you.